Our scripture reading for this morning is from the 15th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. This is the very familiar parable of the prodigal son. But if you listen carefully, you'll find out that it really isn't about the prodigal son. So stay tuned. Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, forgive me the share of the property that will belong to me.' So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the young son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here, I'm dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. And he ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be considered your son.' But the father said to the slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He is lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now the elder son was in the field. And when he came in and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked him what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother has come home. And your father has killed the fatted calf because he got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I've been working like a slave for you, and I've never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never even given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you're always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found.'" We're going to tell you a story about a family I knew. This is a true story. In my first church in Vermont, over 30 years ago now, I also served for a couple of years a small church just across the Connecticut River in New Hampshire. And there was a family in the church who had been there since time begun. They had a farm that had been in the family, as they were very proud to say, since 1799. And it was a dairy farm. So something like six or seven generations had farmed this farm. They were a great family. They worked hard and were very generous to the church, and they were active in the community. And the father was still alive. Now, this was one of those families where everybody lived to be at least 100, okay? So you didn't have to worry about anything because you knew you were going to make it at least to 95, if not 100. So when the father was around 91, 92, somewhere around there, he figured he probably had another decade or so. The older of the two sons, and there were two sons, the older son was the one who basically ran the dairy farm, and the father kind of helped out with milking and things like that. So the older son went to the father and said, "You know, I've been running a farm for quite a long time. Do you think I could buy it from you so that we can be sure that I will have the farm when your time comes?" And the father said, "Well, why should you pay for something that you're going to inherit anyway?" Now, there was a younger brother. I'm not making this up, really. There was a younger brother. Now, the younger brother had still lived at home. He was bachelor, never married, stayed at home. His mother was still cooking for him. He was still sleeping in the same bedroom he had when he was a kid. He kind of worked on and off on jobs. I mean, he wasn't lazy, but he had no interest in the farm. None. So, one night after dinner, father went upstairs, sat down on the edge of his bed, unbuttoned his shirt, fell back dead, had a heart attack. Just like that. Well, guess what? There was no will. So, I remember talking to the older son and about his concern that once their mother died, that the younger brother would inherit half the farm. And he had absolutely no interest in the farm. And he was very concerned that the farm might get broken up, some of the land might get sold. He didn't know. But he was very concerned. So when I left the area, I never knew what happened. I'll tell you what happened in a few minutes. So I tell you this story to think about this parable of Jesus. It's probably one of the better known parables. And you know, the best known parables of Jesus, most of them are in the Gospel of Luke. The prodigal son, the good Samaritan, they're in Luke. Luke has a way of casting Jesus' parables in a way that you can relate to immediately. You can see yourself in these parables, and this is certainly one of them. So I want you to take into account the audience. There are two different groups in this audience. One is the Pharisees and the scribes, the clergy. And at this point, you can go, okay? The other part of the audience is tax collectors and sinners. Now, Jesus tells, in this context, three different parables. But they're all related. The first one, and these were all familiar parables to us, the shepherd who has the 100 sheep, and the one gets lost, and he leaves behind the 99 to go out and to find the one who is lost and bring it back. And then there's the parable about the woman who has the 10 coins. Now, the 10 coins are important because they represent a dowry. They have much more significance than just the monetary value. So she loses one of the coins, and she spends all day looking for it. And she finds the coin, and when she finds it, she calls in her friends, and they have a party, and they celebrate that she found this very special coin. And then we have the parable of the Good Samaritan. The other two parables you can almost see as a warm-up act for the parable of the Good Samaritan. So, the characters that you see. There's the younger brother who does everything wrong. As Heather talked about, he's the kid in class that was doing all those things. And I fit about those things that the kids brought in. I did maybe one and a half of those three things. The spitball thing in particular, I had a thing for spitballs. when I was in the, about fifth, sixth grade, got called out a few times. So I don't know if I'm quite the prodigal son, but I guess I'm on that garden path. So the brother, the younger brother, did everything wrong. And then to top it all off, he goes to his father and says, look, there's only two of us. I would like you to give me half of the estate that I'm going to be receiving. So the father does that, gives the money to the son. The son takes off for parts unknown and spends it. I think it's in the King James Bible that has that immortal phrase. He spends it in loose living. Well, the party's over and the money runs out. He hires himself out on a pig farm. Now remember, these folks are Jewish. He even abandons his own upbringing because he's so desperate and he's hungry. And he's at the point where he's even eyeing with jealousy the food that the pigs are eating. And he realizes that his father's employees are much better off than he is. So he hitches up his loins and he rehearses the speech that he's going to say to his father as he goes back and begs for mercy and asks that he just be taken on as another employee. Don't even think of me as your son. So he goes off and comes back, and the father sees him off in the distance and comes running to him and embraces him and welcomes him back. And as the prodigal son starts his rehearsed speech, the father says, No, don't worry about that. And calls the slaves to get him some clean clothes and dress him up in the finest clothing, and they kill the fatted calf that has been saved for such a special occasion. And they have a party, and there's dancing into the night. Then there's the older brother. The other older brother has been out milking the cows. And he hears all the celebration going on. Comes back and asks the slaves, well, what's going on in the house? Well, your brother came back and your father threw a party for him. The older brother's really upset, doesn't even want to talk to anybody. Father comes out and says, you know, your brother was dead and now he's alive, yet the older brother is incensed because his father, he didn't even give him just a little bit of money to throw a big party for his friends. And that's how Jesus ends the parable. So we're left thinking, well, what happens? What happens? Does the older brother go stomp back out to the barn to shovel manure or something? Does he come in and reconcile with his brother? We don't know. There's a point to this parable, and it really doesn't have much to do with the prodigal son or with the older brother. It's about God. What Jesus is telling here is a story about the grace of God. The two brothers are simply examples of the kind of people that God loves. The people who get everything right and who are perfect. How many of you know somebody who is perfect? Don't count yourself. As opposed to the people who make mistakes, get things wrong, have to do something over, goof off. That's the rest of us. We're all the prodigal son. This is a story about the extravagance of God. It is a story about the grace of God. And remember again, the audience that's listening to the story. I can just imagine the Pharisees and the scribes doing something like this when he's talking about the prodigal son who often spends the money on drinking and gambling. But I can also imagine the tax collectors and the sinners. The sinners would be the people that do things like get DWIs and, you know, do stuff they're not supposed to do. And the tax collectors, of course, were looked down upon because they gouged their own people to pay taxes to the Romans. So these are the people that were looked down on by society. And they could probably relate to the prodigal son, somebody who was rejected by other people. But they would also understand the message that God loved them equally. Note in the parable that the father does not tell the older son, "I don't love you." He says just the opposite, "I do love you. And everything that I have is already yours." Everything that I have is already yours. But your brother was dead, and now he's alive. I can just imagine how the Pharisees and scribes heard this story about grace, about forgiveness. Maybe some of them thought, you know, we judge people too harsh. We judge people too much. And friends, there's too much of that in the world. A good question that we can ask ourselves is, which brother would you be in the story? Which brother would you be? Would you be the brother who never made a mistake and who resented others who did make mistakes? Or would you be the younger one? The younger one who did make mistakes, who had to apologize for things that he had done, but also who experienced forgiveness and grace. Spitballs and all, I know that I'm the younger brother, and so are the rest of you. We all are. Because there's nobody who's perfect, and anybody who pretends to be perfect is just putting on an act. And therefore, we are in no position to judge. We are in no position to judge. But we are in the position to receive others with the same grace and forgiveness that God extends to us. This is what this parable is really about. Because friends, being a judge is not what we are called to do. It's not what God calls us to do. God calls us to be vehicles of mercy and of grace and of forgiveness. Because there is already plenty of judgment in the world. The world does not need any more of that. And this is what this story is about. I suspect that Jesus doesn't tell us and his hearers the end of the story because the way he tells it is the end of the story. The end of the story is the grace and the mercy of God. It's not about whether the brother decided to be reconciled with his brother or not. So, about my family, the family that I knew in New Hampshire. I didn't know this till actually just this past week. I thought I would poke around online and see what happened to them. Well, the mother died mid-90s. The younger brother died about 4 or 5 years ago. And the older brother died just last year, actually, at the very young age of 89. He didn't even meet the age that his father did. So perhaps the younger generations are not living quite as long. And the farm is now in the, I think it's the 7th or 8th generation, being run by the son of the older brother. Now, I can only speculate because I know that the younger brother lived in the family house that was built in 1802 and they had lived in since then. My guess is that there was some kind of reconciliation there. That the older brother continued to run the farm, worked with his son, who's about my age, and now his son is working on the farm, and that there's going to be that continuity. It's going to last for another generation. A wonderful thing. But somewhere, there must have been reconciliation. Because the older brother really did resent that younger brother who just lived at home and had his mother cook for him and didn't seem to have any interest in the farm at all. I hope they were reconciled before the younger brother's death. I suspect they were. Friends, life is too short to hold grudges. Life is too short to be angry with somebody else. This parable offers to us a very vivid picture of the grace of God. And it's what Jesus calls us to be and to do. Amen.